Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Nicole, Kristen, and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you in a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Burm, burm, burm. Welcome, welcome.
What's up?
Hello.
So we hope that you heard our last episode. It was all about auras and getting familiar with them and the different colors and shapes that can show up in your energy field and all that fun stuff. So if you didn't listen, go back and have a listen. It was a good one.
Mm-hmm. It was good. And today's episode is going to be just as good because we are going to talk about Reiki healing. And all three of us are certified in Reiki level 1 and 2. So we're excited to talk about this today.
Yes. And if you don't know what Reiki is, the word Reiki is a combination of two words. The first is Rei, which means universal. And the second is Ki, which means the force energy. Life force energy is all around what runs through our bodies and gives us life. So meaning like life force, meaning energy is all over everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything is made out of energy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the trees have energy. People mm-hmm. have energy. The land the has energy. Mm-hmm. The air has energy. You know, some people, like I like to think of it as like more godly or divine in right. some ways. Mm-hmm. Although that's the same thing to me.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah.
I think it's what gives us life, like makes yeah. us, you know, tick.
Yeah. So Reiki is a healing modality where a practitioner channels the universal force of energy and sends it to recipient to help rebalance the chakras and increase their life force energy. Receiving Reiki healing can help a person's energy flow through their body freely and make it easier for the body to heal itself.
Yes. I think we've talked about this before in a lot of our other episodes where when your chakras are aligned and your life force energy is what Reiki refers to it as, but that energy is flowing easily throughout you, mm-hmm. it's easier for your body to heal itself. It's easier for you to connect with the divine. It's easier for all the things, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So a Reiki practitioner can send the healing to the person by hovering their hands over the body or by lightly touching the body. Reiki can even be done at a distance.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I've studied Reiki and I've done the attunement and everything for 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and I mentioned this in other episodes, I don't know how to really separate Reiki from my mediumship. So I don't practice it.
Yeah.
I struggle with trying to not give readings during, because you might find if you're a Reiki practitioner, if you study Reiki, that mm-hmm. it actually helps you open up even more to spirit. Yes. There's a lot of massage therapists and Reiki practitioners who are very in tune with people's energy and don't mm-hmm. even realize that that's what they're doing and can, it's almost like a stepping stone in your psychic and mediumship development in a way for some people. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. But I don't practice it. I know you two do offer that service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have, you know, and we have lots of friends who are Reiki practitioners. And I ask you guys to send me Reiki when I'm not feeling good. I have a good friend mm-hmm. of mine who does Reiki for me. Like I do a hardcore session like once a year. And I'm like, it's so funny because she'll reach out to me and she'll say, hey, you doing all right? And I was like, oh, you just know. And I'd be like, oh, I need it. And she'll do a whole like long distance session with me. And, you know, you guys are always on call. You'll be like, you want me to send you Reiki? I'm like, yeah, please. I like that. And I do it for you guys too. And it's just that that's not something I practice because I really struggle with separating my mediumship from Reiki. Yeah. So
yeah. I think that's common too. I've heard, you know, mediums and I have to try too because it's the same thing. It's hard not to just start picking up other things and you're supposed to concentrate on the healing aspect of it.
Yeah, the hard part for me was when I was doing the hands over the different chakras and I'd start to pick up the energy, you'd mm-hmm. see, I'd like see all the story behind the energy and feel it physically.
Yeah.
And the physical feeling of it, I did mm-hmm. not like that.
Yeah, that's the part you probably really don't want. Because if you were doing a lot of Reiki sessions and you were mm-hmm. absorbing all of that, you mm-hmm. know,
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't think this is not what God has planned for me. But it is helpful for me in my own mediumship practice. You know, I do Reiki on myself. I'll do Reiki on the room, you know, in preparation for readings. So it's definitely beneficial to learn about Reiki, even if it's not something you plan on practicing. It's a great tool and practice to add to your spiritual journey as you're growing and developing. Mm-hmm. So the founder of Reiki, his name is Makao Usui. Is that right, Jean?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
And he's from Japan, right? Mm-hmm. And he had this whole experience where he meditated on a mountain, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was given and seen all these. I mean, there was way more to it. I'm really simplifying it.
Yeah.
But wasn't he was shown a bunch of things and how did you guys describe it? Like it was like he was shown something on a movie screen.
Wasn't he meditating or something?
He was meditating on a something. It was on a mountain, right?
And it hit him. The energy hit him, and it like I don't know if it like knocked him out, but it like hit him in his third eye, and then he saw like his rainbow face. Bubbles.
Yeah, and it was all kinds of stuff.
He saw like the Reiki symbols and was shown how to use them. Mm-hmm. And so that's believed to be the first Reiki attunement.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that came directly from the universe.
Yes.
And wasn't he like a Buddhist monk or something?
Yeah, he studied a lot of ancient scriptures. Like he studied Christian scriptures, Buddhist teachings. And I think how he got on this journey was he wanted to figure out how they healed, how the healing worked, or he was, you know, that's what he was on his mission for, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there was already different types of energy healing. Reiki is just actually relatively new because this is what, 1920s that this first came about?
Yeah, it was around the turn of the century.
So yeah, so this is, it's just, there's always been different kinds of energy healing, and this is just a new version or newer. I'm saying new because there's like, it's been around forever, but this form of energy healing is a newer version. And Usui's Reiki method, his energy healing method, was introduced to the United States actually by way of one of his students, Hayashi, who he taught soon after he developed this Reiki method. And then Hayashi actually worked with a woman named Hawayo, I don't know how to pronounce that, Takata, and helped her heal, which made her interested in becoming a Reiki master herself. And she took Reiki back to Hawaii with her. Hmm. I had read somewhere, that Takata had morphed the Usui methods a little bit and changed the whole story behind it. But if you think about the time that she's in Hawaii and what's happening in Hawaii, it makes sense for her to, I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but you're thinking about it. It's like all those missionaries. It's
more like protection, honestly,
You don't want them. And a woman, woman, practicing, and it's not even like they probably wouldn't consider it medicinal, right? So a woman practicing some voodoo-y magic-y healing, who's Japanese nonetheless, coming, you know, to Hawaii when Hawaii is still not a state, and the missionaries are converting all the Hawaiians to Christian, to the point where Hawaiians don't feel like. Or, you know, because they don't talk, it's hard to find people who can talk openly about Hawaiian religion and Hawaiian faith and Hawaiian tradition.
It took a while for Hawayo Tanaka to ask to be taught Reiki from Hayashi. I mean, like a really while back, because back then, like you said, women wasn't like, you're supposed to be in the kitchen and watching the kids, right?
Yeah.
Not doing all these other stuff. It was one of those things. I think they still have that samurai mentality kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's too bad because I think a lot of, you know, very traditional Reiki practitioners are like shun her because of how she changed the concept and the storyline of the Usui Reiki healing. But I can understand if you're looking at it from that timeline and from her point of view, it's a lot of stuff she got to take into consideration.
That has to be true. A hush-hush thing too.
However, I will say Jesus did heal by laying his hands.
Oh, yeah.
Laying on the hands. It's not, I mean, you could call it something different, but it's similar. That's why I said, yeah,
energy
it's
healing's been yeah. around for a long time.
So she's not totally false. And there is a theory where there's a part of Jesus's life where they don't know anything about him in that chunk of life. And there's theories that he did go east and then like maybe studied Buddhism and came back.
He went.
He went to India, I think. I think he went to India. He went that
I'm
way.
I'm trying to visualize a globe in my head and I'm not doing really good with that. That's
fine. I think it was India, but I'm not 100% sure. But there are theories that Jesus did go that direction and could have learned from Buddhists about healing and then went back. I have no idea if that's true or not, but there are those theories.
Of course, there's lots of those theories. Yeah. I mean, and for all we know, maybe the Buddhists learned from Jesus.
Could be. I think they were healing, though, for a while, because Buddha was 500 years before Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was 500 years before.
I have no idea.
I went down this rabbit hole today.
So wait, so is Buddha then Jesus?
Yes.
Then you would see?
Then him later, a lot later.
And then us.
You never know. I mean, again, it's just the name could be different. The intention is the same.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Energy healing's been around forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely, that's why I was like, this is just the newer version or one of the relatively new ways to practice energy healing.
Yeah. And I think the difference too is, and we've talked about this, and G, you know, when you've told us, oh, if you heal somebody, don't use your own energy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you drain yourself. So when you're channeling Reiki energy, you're not using your own.
Right.
You're channeling. And you know,
that's even true when you practice mediumship and any kind of spiritual ability. I think that's why there's I think that's why there's a lot of mediums that are like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted right after a reading. Mm-hmm. I get like this surge of energy for like an hour to 2 hours after. Yeah, and then it's like it's like a sugar crash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I come down and I'm like, oh yeah, but it's just like anything else really, I think. But I think it's
important. Your spiritual fix. You get your high.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to make sure you aren't using just your personal energy when you're doing any kind of energy healing or spiritual practices. You know, I think that's why it's so important to open up that channel and make sure your chakras are in alignment. And I'm not gonna lie, if you're gonna work with someone who is a healer of any kind, emotional, mental, energy healing, physical healing, make sure they're in a good state of mind.
Yes, because you can absorb their stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like, this is one reason I don't go and get massages. I don't get manicures and pedicures because I don't know what kind of energy I'm, encountering in those close connections.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, those are vulnerable situations. Mm-hmm. Someone's got a hold of my foot. Hey.
They're always talking shit about my feet because they're so rough. I can tell.
But I mean, it's going to be hard to run when my feet all wet and slippery and you got one of my feet. If I got to get away from you, it's not going to be easy, right? Or, you know, your hand is stuck in some kind of, you know, light thing because you got to let your nails dry and they're like, stay here. Don't go anywhere. I hate that. I'm like, don't tell me.
Feeling like you can't escape.
Now I want to run.
I feel like that if I'm on public transportation. I don't know why, but that is the worst feeling to me. Because there's so many people in close quarters and I can't escape. I can't just jump off the train or whatever, you know?
You have somebody hand coming down.
Nah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, what were we talking about?
I don't know.
We were talking about Reiki. So.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should leave all this in. Like, we just. Yeah, why not? We're going on side notes today. We're winging it. But it's a good conversation.
So how does it work, though?
Yeah. How does Reiki healing work, Kristen?
Shit, that's me.
Damn it.
Okay. So a Reiki practitioner will channel or pull in or ask for the universal life force energy. Mm-hmm. And you have to perform the Reiki symbols, right? When you
Too much about that. You're not supposed to share it.
That's part of it.
Yeah. They can't see us.
Your symbols. They can't see us. You have to have your symbols. You set the intention to bring in universal life force energy to heal the person that's in front of you.
Question. for yes. level one, do you guys get practice the symbols or is it level two?
Okay, so for Reiki one, you get the power symbol, right?
I don't even remember because I did Reiki two, one and two at the same time in one
so
weekend.
Mine was separate. Reiki level two allows you to do it at a distance. So you learn the distance symbol in Reiki two. So Reiki one, you only learn symbols to do in person.
Yeah.
Wait, well, what about the third one?
What about the
emotional one? Or emotional and mental. I think that's one too. One as well.
All three was level two for me.
You have to learn one symbol at least, or you can't do Reiki at level one.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do Reiki at level one. You're not supposed to practice Reiki until you have done at least Reiki two.
Level one for me was the hovering of the hands or laying hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no symbols.
I don't think I got any symbols until the second.
I don't think you have to have a symbol to do anything.
No. It's all different. Remember, we got different teachers, so.
That's true. So for me, level one was power symbol, I think, in the mental and emotional thing. And then you could do laying of the hands in person.
Mm-hmm.
Level two, you became attuned to doing distance.
Yeah.
Level three is when you become the master that you can pass it along. And then you learn the symbols to heal the spiritual side of things.
Yeah, mine is different.
Yeah, I guess it just depends.
Yeah, it all depends on your teacher and where and who your teacher was taught by.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. So the lineage. So level one for me was more of the storylines and the lineage that we
The history. The history of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So mine came from my master to Tanaka. That was her lineage or whatever kind of things. Because there's different kind of Reiki, like the Holy Fire, I've heard there's one. And what was you guys one?
Mine was Holy Fire.
Mine was Usui Shiki Ryoho Reiki.
Yeah. Usui Holy Fire 3 Reiki Ryoho.
See, I don't have a Holy Fire in mine.
Yeah, mine's Usui Shiki Ryoho.
Oh, we got the same one, G.
Yeah.
Apparently not quite the same, but similar.
And I didn't take any notes either. So my master says no notes.
See, I didn't take notes. I just was given them. That's interesting why everybody's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I learned any.
Yeah, and the level two was the symbols.
I did it in one weekend, like all day for 2 days straight in one weekend.
Mine was different. Mine was split.
Yeah, mine was split too.
One but by itself.
The first day was one and the second day was two. And the first day was all about the history and understanding how it works and like laying of the hands practice more than actual Reiki. And then the second day, like they said, you could do Reiki on yourself, you know, after the first one. But to offer it professionally, you had to complete Reiki too.
That's interesting. Now, I didn't get attuned until the end of the first class.
Well, every teacher is going to do it a little bit differently.
Different, yeah.
So when receiving Reiki healing, it helps to unblock energetic imbalances in the chakras and the meridians of the body. Sometimes these blockages can come from trauma, stress, or emotions that are stored in those areas, and it can stifle the flow of the vital life force energy within you.
Yeah. And if you listen to our previous episode about chakras, you'll understand that the meridians are energy lines that run through our body, and the chakras are kind of like the main intersections of those energetic highways, essentially.
Yeah. So
that's an important aspect because it can affect all different parts of your life, your physical life, your emotional life, your mental, all the things. So it makes sense that having someone that can help you with Reiki and doing that form of energy healing can help you move through traumatic experiences and stressful moments and times where maybe you didn't know how to express your emotions. Reiki can really help a lot with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when your chakra or meridian is blocked, the organs around it or associated with that chakra or meridian don't receive the energy that they need to regenerate cells. And that's what can potentially lead to physical ailments or disease.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it's important to get, you know, Reiki every once in a while for maintenance purposes, too. You know, once mm-hmm. you – if you get one and you feel nice and open and clear, it's good to still continue to get it to keep you that way.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So the scientific aspects of Reiki.
Okay.
It's like – the whole idea of the – think of the universal laws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the law of energy transmutation, right? Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. That's the one that says that energy never dies and it's never born. Essentially, it's like related to the energy of conservation of energy, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
That's what it is.
Where energy is always changing but it never dies and it's never created new. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that whole concept is kind of like that there's the idea that energy is always around us, but energy can change. So if you look at all the universal laws, that's why like universal laws really tie into Reiki in a lot of ways mm-hmm. because of the concept of if you bring in a Reiki practitioner who is channeling positive healing energy, mm-hmm. how it influences your energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then there's also I have it right on the tip of my brain.
Uh-oh.
The law of attraction?
The law of oneness. Mm. There's also the law of oneness that says we're all interconnected. And yes. It ties into the Einstein, the quantum.
Entanglement.
Quantum entanglement. Is that Einstein or is it somebody else?
I think he discussed – he called it spooky action at a distance.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. So with that idea – because if you have the idea or the belief mm-hmm. that I do, we all originate from one mm-hmm. main source. Mm-hmm. We are all connected in some form yes. or fashion really deeply.
Our photons from our origins. Are entangled. Our light is yes. entangled.
So what happens – that's why long-distance Reiki can work is because – when you have that intention, you set the intention to affect certain molecules or atoms in one space, but with the idea of it actually influencing an atom or molecule in a different place, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that's the whole concept of quantum entanglement. There's some yeah. kind of deep rooted dynamic that we all carry where what happens to one of us can be effective or can happen to somebody on the other side mm-hmm. of the world.
Or even further. Their right. distance doesn't matter.
Across the galaxies. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
So, yeah.
And it's true. It's proven, I believe, that that's a thing. It's crazy, but I love it because that's what makes, you know, because we always say what we do. Sometimes it's like, you know, we have to really get over doubts and things like that. But mm-hmm. when you hear the science that can mm-hmm. support it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like, oh, I love it.
Oh, it's very reassuring. It makes me feel less crazy.
It does, yeah, because it's like it's something we know and feel deep within, but we still have that side of us that just wants evidence too. You know, that's just – it's natural yeah. to want that. Even yeah. though we can feel it, we still like to have something that supports it. So,
well, and I think a big part of us wanting to have mm-hmm. that validation – mm-hmm. is that a lot of us are taught our entire lives that what we believe and intuitively feel is nonsense.
Right, that it has to be science-based, you know? And there's science is really important. We're not knocking it.
Yeah.
But I think that they can exist together.
Speaking of science supporting the idea of Reiki, there's actually a lot of hospitals that have Reiki practitioners. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On staff, because they found that even though some doctors are very like, no, mm-hmm. it's not real. It's like a, what is it called when you, oh my God, my brain is not working tonight.
Oh, placebo.
Yeah. Yeah. A placebo effect. Yeah. Some doctors believe it's just a placebo effect, but they have found when a Reiki practitioner works with their patients, they heal faster.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if they believe it's working and it's working, what's right. wrong?
What's exactly. the problem? Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that they're actually hiring Reiki practitioners to have on staff at hospitals says mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm. There's studies that are done on the time of the amount of time with Reiki.
What do you mean?
That it like 90 minutes is the most effective.
Of a Reiki practice?
Mm-hmm.
Or a Reiki healing?
Session, yeah.
It's a long time.
It's long.
Yeah.
How long do you guys usually do?
That would be exhausting.
An hour?
Yeah, I was going to say, man, I can't imagine. Reiki's I know there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into preparation, and then there's a lot that goes into the actual act of providing
healing. For me, the whole thing is an hour. Like, I still have the beginning portion where we talked about what's going on with them, the client. And then the actual would probably be like maybe about 45 minutes.
You do an hour session.
And then you get to follow up and explain what you got, right?
You have to discuss what you've
picked up on. And because I know.
And sometimes it goes over the hour.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, right? So what are some holistic benefits to receiving Reiki healing?
Oh, there's a lot. So there's like physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, stress reduction, relaxation, pain management, and healing support, enhancing emotional clarity and resilience.
So for your clientele, what are they usually coming to you for, G, when they are asking for Reiki healing?
More of balancing. I have a lot different kind of clients where they have pain in their knees or back. Or I have one client that was just had a heart attack, and he's been going through a lot of stress. So he's been cleared, actually.
Yay!
So now he's coming to me. He wants to make a baby. Not with me.
I was gonna say.
Thanks for the clarification.
That's a different level Reiki right there.
The wife comes to me and she's like,
"Is that Reiki level 6?"
Yeah, it's 8.
7.
I think.
Reiki level 7.
7. 7. Yeah. So their whole plan was after his ordeal, he's done. And they trying to move on. So they want to make a family. So I'm like, oh, okay. This is the main. Because I asked, what's your main goal? She goes, I want to make a family. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I was thinking, I don't know if we can help you with that. But maybe I can. So I was thinking about the moon.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know. So I think they tried. And then because they already have the eggs and embryos ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't think the one when they first tried, it couldn't attach.
Yeah.
No. I think. So that's hard for her.
His end.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think she was more stressing out because of him and he had a heart attack.
And men's stress. So. Stress really does affect you. And you know, a lot of the time I know the sacral chakra is related to reproduction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I know, and it's interesting how much the mind and your emotional state and your mental state can really affect your physical aspects. So if there's like too much energy going. Oh, yeah. If there's too much focus or too much energy going to one chakra, it can like make it off balance. If there's not enough, it can make it off balance. So it's like a dance, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to find that right balance. And that balance for each person is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what have you experienced with your clients for Reiki, Kristen? Like, what are they coming to you for help? Is it more physical, spiritual?
I think it's a mixture of spiritual and mental.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes it's both, you know, it's a lot of times it's, you know, they have a block and they feel like it's affecting their spiritual abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them was holding on to a lot of past trauma. And she wanted to just be rebalanced so she can work on that, work on healing that.
Yeah. I think Reiki is really great with reminding us to be very present with our energy. Because when we hold on to stuff and feed our energy to past situations, we're not allowing ourselves to experience that moment right now. So I think that's huge. So
And when you're when you're holding so much into past situations – that really keeps your energy and body in the past versus creating the future that you want too.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. I know when I've had full experiences with my good friend that's a Reiki master, and I always reach out to her, like I mentioned earlier. It's like usually once a year where I'm feeling very disconnected. And as I've mentioned in other podcast episodes, I'm not very good at being grounded in my physical body. So there's like once a year, I'll feel so incredibly disconnected from my physical self. I'll have to reach out to her, and she helps me through that long distance Reiki because she's in Virginia. I'm in Michigan, and she'll do a whole long session. You know, she'll be like, what do you want to focus on? And I'm always like connecting with my body, making sure my spirit stays anchored in there, doesn't drift off. And she's like, got it. You know, and then I'll have experiences when I receive Reiki, which is actually pretty common, right? Like, do your clients ever, especially those who are spiritually inclined, do they have a lot of visions or experiences when they're receiving Reiki from you guys?
Yeah, I have one where it's she can tell, like, if I do extra, like, her heart chakra was really struggling, very, very blocked, very heavy. And, you know, she's like, I can tell you spent a lot of time there, you know. Yeah. Or one of them, it was, I think her, it was her Earth Star chakra or around her feet felt so cold to me. And she was like, I don't know why, but all of a sudden my feet got really, really cold, like towards the end, you know. And it's like little things that I'll do. Or sometimes I feel like I just need to like hold their hand for a while, and then they'll say, oh, I felt tingling in my hand or whatever. It's like they can feel when I'm doing things at certain parts, even though they're not with me.
Yeah. Can I ask you, do you guys ever, because I know this has happened with my friend that does this, do you ever work with or have your guides come in and help you, or the person's guides come in and help you perform Reiki?
Well, I ask our angel Raphael to come help me. Yeah.
Same. But sometimes different people show up, like Mother Mary showed up for somebody, and it was she needed healing having to do with her mother. And it was like, you know, whoever kind of shows up, I was like, okay, this might be who they need to
Based on what that ascended master or angel specializes in or is known for. Yeah, that definitely can help
or their loved
give you an
who
idea
passed away.
Of what the need is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, because the first time I had a Reiki session, which I wasn't familiar with it at all when I had it, I was like, first she used crystals in addition to doing the Reiki, which I loved. And I didn't know she did because she hid it underneath the blanket that I was on top of.
Oh, okay.
Like it was on a massage table, but there was a blanket.
Yeah.
And I told her I had this pain in my shoulder for like decades that I could never get rid of. And she didn't tell me, but she put like a quartz. Clear quartz crystal or something underneath where my shoulder was. And I felt it get so hot. And I was like, okay, it's really hot underneath my left shoulder. She's like, does it hurt? I said, no, it feels good. She goes, okay, then we're just going to keep going. But I felt like there were people standing shoulder to shoulder all around my table, the table I was on. Yeah. I said, did you bring people in? Because my eyes are closed and I had like a washcloth covering my eyes. I said, did you have people come in? She's like, no. And I was like, I was pretty sure there was like people standing shoulder to shoulder around the table with you. And she's like, no, I didn't. But, you know I call in the guides and ask for help and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And like I could feel like she didn't lay her hands on me. She always kept her hands in the different energy fields, which we talked about in the last episode. So depending to see where the healing needs to happen. And she's not one to put her hand – well, she didn't put her hands on me because I said I didn't like that for the reasons I mentioned before. But her energy is so beautiful. I felt very trusting with her. And I could feel – I told her at the end of it, I know where you started. I know where you went next. I know what you did. I know how you ended. And I didn't know the whole practice. But I could feel the energy as she was manipulating it and moving it through me and healing different parts of me. And even like at the end when she was anchoring – you know, I was like, okay, I felt every single aspect, but at the same time, I was getting all kinds of visions.
Oh, yeah.
So I always tell people, I'm like, if you're really struggling with your spiritual abilities, or you're feeling like you have blockages in your chakras, it's definitely worth talking with someone about getting some kind of Reiki healing because it might help unlock or at least help you find out what part you need to focus on unlocking and clearing to allow that energy to flow through you more easily. So you can have better access to not only higher beings, but also to your inner self.
I know you said you don't like when people touch you. Mm-hmm. Sounds weird because I'm about to say I do.
Well, I'll be completely honest, like, because that was the first time I'd ever, because she was a client of mine before she did Reiki with me. And now we're really good friends. Mm-hmm. But that just tends to happen sometimes. Right, ladies?
Yeah. A couple of my new clients, I mean, they're not new anymore, but they become friends.
Yeah. Love so, you know, it's if you guys were doing Reiki healing on me, I would not mind if you were touching me because I trust your energy.
Right.
And same with her. But it was like, I don't really know you. Can you don't touch me?
Yeah.
If I'm familiar with your energy and I trust your energy, that's totally different. Mm-hmm. But I'm not walking into a nail salon with a bunch of angry people who don't even want to be there.
Yeah.
And then the clients there don't want to be there, you know, and they're irritated or, you know, and the massage therapist, I don't know, she might be fighting with her spouse at home. I don't know. Right. So I'm always very careful with who is in my space. And
can I ask you a related question that's not related question?
Okay,
sure,
cool.
Always.
So when you were talking about that, I kept thinking of love language. So like for me, my love language is that someone just touches my arm or like I feel like, oh, they love me. They touch my shoulder or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm very touchy-feely with people. I don't mean to be, but I'm just – that's how I am.
Yeah.
Is your love language not touch since you
– Actually, oddly enough, it's absolutely touch.
Okay. I was just curious if there's some kind of a link with that or not a link with that.
Yeah, it's weird. But, because Rick is always like, okay, what? Every time I see him, I go and I hug him. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just lay my head on him, or I always have to touch him when we're driving. I'll have my hand on his hand or, you know, and even the kids, I love to snuggle with them. You know, I didn't grow up in a very affectionate household, so I don't know if that's something to do with it. Like, my mom was never, big on hugging or snuggling or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We did that with our dogs. Like, our dogs were our cuddlers, you know? So I'm very much a physical, affectionate person with those I care about.
Really care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if I hug you, then that says a lot. That means I trust your energy and I'm want to share that energy with you, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's very special to me. Physical touch is very special to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's my love language. You know, to the point with the people I really care about, I was doing it when we were all together in Sedona. You probably didn't realize it. When you were driving, I would always laugh and touch your arm. Mm-hmm. Or I'd turn around and turn around and smack G on the leg. I mean, it'd be little things, but that's big to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I love that. I like when people do. I'm like, oh, they must love me. They touch my heart. Gee, what about you? Sorry, go ahead, Nicole. Do you have something else to say?
I'm a half and half kind of thing.
Half and half.
Half what?
Like,
you're probably service. Acts of service. Oh, gifts. Yes. You're gifts.
Oh, G is gifts.
You're gifts. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Gifts. I like the hugs. I like my Venus is in Leo, so it's more of the show of affection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because the Leo is always like, you know.
Hey, look what I got you.
Yeah.
Look what I can do for you. Well, Virgo is act of service, right?
Yeah.
Too, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know that my husband's a Virgo, his son's Virgo, and he's very much the way he shows love is acts of service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be very like – well, see, my Venus is Scorpio.
Yeah,
we went over that.
That's my physical touch.
That's true. That's right. So it does not correlate to if you like Reiki,
no,
hands-on or hands-off. It was a research question.
Yeah, and it could totally just be because of my experiences throughout my life with spiritual energy and being very protective or experiences with people. You know, I'm very guarded with my energy.
Yeah.
So if you get to know me and you ever meet me in person, be aware of it. I'm very guarded. And it's bad because sometimes I come off as snooty and I don't mean to. You know, it's just let me keep until I get to know you a little bit more, let me keep my distance a little bit.
Right.
So, I'm the opposite. I'm I was that kid where I'm still like this. Like, if you don't want to talk to me, that's not really an option. Because I'll talk to you anyway. I'm like, hey, I can't help it. I'm all up in everybody's, not their business, but I always got to talk to everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys decide to study? Like, what drew you to becoming a Reiki practitioner? Like, for me, it was I want to learn as much about spiritual practices as I can so I can understand things that spirit often would suggest to my clients. And I was like, I don't even know what energy healing is. So I'm like, I want to study it. That's why I have so many books, because anytime anything comes up in my readings, mm-hmm. I'm like – like Human Design came up in my – I am so mad that that has come up in my readings, because I feel like I have to study it, and that shit is hard.
A lot. Yeah,
it is.
So if I'm suggesting something in readings, mm-hmm. I want to understand it as best as I can. Mm-hmm. That's what led me to studying Reiki, and I thought, well, maybe this is something that I should learn for my own practice. Found out it's not. What attracted you guys to studying Reiki?
Well, for me, I used to do healing hands, and healing hands is placing, just like Reiki, but placing your hands on the person. However, you use your energy to heal the person, and that was kind of a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But I was being directed to other, like, massage therapists kind of thing, and I was like, no, I don't want to, that's not it, you know?
Yeah.
And then Reiki came up. I'm like, oh, what is this? So I just tried it.
And it worked. It fit.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, it
fit. Were you naturally drawn to just lay hands on people sometimes when they're in pain? Were you drawn to just put your hands on them?
Yeah.
That's true for a lot of natural healers, right? Mm-hmm. And their hands, like whenever I do readings with people who are natural healers or I'm near them, my hands will sweat. Mm-hmm. And I always have cold hands and cold feet. So for my hands to sweat and get all hot, I'm like, okay, where's that? Where's the natural healer? Where are you? Where are you at? So, yeah, I know that happens a lot for natural healers too. But how about you, Kristen?
I think for me it was an impulse thing. I don't think I even thought much about it. I was just kind of in the beginning of my spiritual journey or practicing. And
you wanted to learn everything?
I think I did, but I don't know. It was like the class like came up and I was like, oh, I guess I'll do that.
It's really fitting for your mentality when it comes to spirituality, because you're all about helping people with their physical, mental, and emotional selves. So, of course, that would make sense for it to be a part of your practice. So I can see why you would go in that direction. Yeah, that makes sense. So there's lots of different teachers out there and lots of different types of Reiki out there. You know, I think the three of us have learned from three different teachers, three different locations. Yeah. I think they even offer like online now. I would say if you can do it in person, do it in person. Yeah, I think it's totally different experience if you do it in person. We are all Reiki 1 and 2 certified. Now, for me, when I did Reiki, I did it in one weekend with my good friend. And it was like all day, one day was Reiki 1, all day, the second day was Reiki 2. You get attunements, you learn different symbols, all that sort of thing. How was it for you guys? We talked about this earlier, but you guys.
We did.
I was waiting for Gina like that she was going to talk.
Did you do Reiki 1 and then a long time went and then you did Reiki 2? Or did you do Reiki 1 weekend and Reiki 2 the next weekend? Like how was it for you guys?
So for me, Reiki 1 was three parts every Saturday we did it. And then I got attuned and whatnot. And then I had to wait another maybe 3 months, 6 months or so for her to get another Reiki 2. Oh. But with that, life happens. I had to stop. And then my dad passed away. And then I had to stop. I was actually taking Reiki 2 at the time. So I told him, okay, I have an emergency. And it's so nice because when I flew out, they told me that they sent me long-distance Reiki to me.
Aww.
And I was like, yes, I'll take it. Please do. And then you guys sent some Reiki to me when I was having my – in the hospital and that. And then I had to take it again. So she was okay with it.
Yeah.
So
how about you, Kristen?
Mine was a little different. I did – one weekend was Reiki 1. And then we got attuned at the end of Reiki 1. And then that was only for in person. And then when we did Reiki 2, we learned a little more about the energetic side. I think Reiki 1 was more like physical things that you would pick up and, you know, mainly heal that. Reiki 2 was energetic. And then you learned how to do distance Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think Reiki 1 was a lot of bit about the origins of it, how it mm-hmm. works, the history behind it, all that kind of stuff. You learn mm-hmm. a lot of I don't want to say mechanics of it, but I guess kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the second one is more about like learning how to practice it. So do you think either of you will go on to study like further into it and become Reiki master?
Actually, I would love to. I think she totally should. Yeah.
Yeah.
If the class comes up, I would love to be a Reiki master.
See, start teaching. Become a Reiki master, G. Okay. And then you can train me and Kristen to become Reiki masters. And then we will write off our trip to Hawaii. As business expenses for the Reiki class.
Okay.
Done. Yep.
But it's the same. I'd like to be a Reiki master, and it would be neat to teach it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either one of you. I'm just leaning towards G because that gives us a reason to go to Hawaii and be a business expense.
Yep. Yeah. That is a very good plan.
So, and depending on your teacher and the type of Reiki that you're learning and you're training in, there's going to be different curriculums and different mm-hmm. ways that they're going to train. So it really is dependent on who you learn under. There's mm-hmm. lots of different Reiki centers all over the United States. And I believe there's an online directory through like one of the main Reiki. I know there's a giant like Reiki center. Yeah, there's like a giant international Reiki center here near mm-hmm. me in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of Reiki practitioners around me. Yeah,
they have conferences. You know?
Yes. Yeah. See, that's why we should plan that and you guys come to Detroit, stay with me, and we'll go to the Reiki conference. Okay,
let's do that.
See, we have all kinds of reasons.
Really?
For real? You guys are welcome to my house whenever. You know that. I'm waiting for you to meet my family.
I know. But
my family's the only one you guys haven't met yet.
I know.
My kids are like Auntie G and Auntie K, and they're like, we have never met them in real life. And I'm like, I know, that's so weird. But you talk to them on FaceTime a lot.
Yeah, we do.
It's true. I'd be down.
Okay, we have to find out what the conference.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to look into that. No joke.
That would be really fun. I would like that.
So there's lots of different ways that you can become a Reiki practitioner. You can have your own private practice. You can work at a healing center or open your own healing center. There's spas that have Reiki practitioners. A client of mine actually is opening this really cool wellness center in New Jersey. I'm so excited mm-hmm. for her. They are going to teach, I think it's, what is it? Taekwondo and yoga, and then have a massage mm-hmm. therapist and a Reiki practitioner. And I'm like, that's genius. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of different places. And like we mentioned, hospitals hire Reiki practitioners more often than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. so many different ways. You can use your Reiki in different practices. Like I use Reiki during mediumship more for protection and strength and that type of thing. There's lots of ways that you can practice Reiki. So yeah. Can you guys think of any other way?
No, that's
Reiki on yourself.
Right. Oh, one time my car was going bonkers, so I just did the symbols on the car, and then the next time I turned it on, it was fine.
Brilliant. I do that with food.
Oh, so, yeah.
Before eating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can charge your water with Reiki, too.
And your water,
You can charge your crystals with Reiki. You can charge your tarot and angel and oracle decks with Reiki. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can practice Reiki without actually doing Reiki healing if that's not something you want to do.
You can do Reiki on yourself. Did we talk about that?
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. And that's something that we all have to remind each other of on a regular basis. Mm-hmm.
I forget.
When we're not feeling well, it's usually G going, do Reiki. You want Reiki? I give you Reiki. Yeah. Do Reiki on you. I'll do Reiki on you tonight. We're like, okay.
I can do it on my kids. Sometimes when they're real sick, I'll remember and I'll do it. But it's like I get into mom medicine mode or like taking mm-hmm. care of them that way. I'm like, oh my gosh, just do Reiki on it.
I tell you, Reiki mm-hmm. has helped with stomach aches in this house for mm-hmm. years. Years. Oh,
yeah. No, you can also do Reiki in other situations, like say you're going to a job opening or something like that, or interview. Send it long, like a distance Reiki to that, and then when you actually go to the interview, you watch what happens. That's all I do.
Yeah. So you could send Reiki to situations.
Yeah.
I did that. I forgot my team, my girls' volleyball team. We were in the championship game it was the tournament, and we hadn't really had a great season. Mm-hmm. But so before the tournament, I like sent everybody Reiki, well, the whole court Reiki, basically my side of the court. And I just asked like to give them like a boost of energy, and we won.
Nice.
Yay.
You know,
I put on there suggesting books. There's not that much.
No.
There's not that much books on Reiki. You have to go to the training.
Yeah, you gotta go to the training.
I had a client recently say, like, I was trying to learn Reiki and I couldn't really find any good books. And I said, I think you just gotta take a class.
You have to take a class. Yeah, it's part of that keeping it sacred, you know, it's making sure you're getting the right information and not like a diluted or makeshift version of what Reiki truly is. So you really want to learn from someone who has the experience and the know-how when you are seeking out a Reiki master to learn from.
So today we talked about Reiki healing and all the different ways that you can maybe apply Reiki in your life and all the holistic benefits of receiving Reiki healing and also giving yourself Reiki healing.
Yeah.
And adding it to your daily routine is really amazing practice to include if you choose to. If you perform Reiki during meditation, or you do Reiki on yourself in the shower, or like we said earlier, me and Kristen, like giving Reiki to your kids, you know, if they're anxious or if they're not feeling well or anything like that, putting Reiki on your car before you go on a road trip or, you know, commuting back and forth to work, those are options too. So we'd love to hear your experiences with Reiki, whether you've studied Reiki, if you're a Reiki practitioner, if you're curious about Reiki, please join the conversation in our Facebook group page, Soul on a Voyage. Yes.
And if you missed our last episode, listen, because we discuss about auras and energy, right?
Yes.
In our next episode, we're going to be talking about crystal and crystal healings. That should be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
Me too.
Yeah, we all love our crystals.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. I just bought 3 more.
Yeah.
You did?
Yes.
Show us.
I have to show you. They're all palm. You know, I love palm stones. So, like, because they feel good in my hand. Mm-hmm. I got a fire.
Got one today?
Fire agate and I need carnelian more. And the golden healer.
Oh, what's the golden healer? I get it. You have to, like, show us.
I'll have to show you. I'll show you. Right. They're exciting. In the other room. They're cleaning in the other room, clearing the energy. Oh, yeah, we'll teach you how to take care of your crystals too when we talk about crystals next.
Stay tuned. Yeah. So thank you for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. And remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
That's right. Subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember, our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
Stay updated on what we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on the Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Love ya!
Peace out!
Bye for now!